All of the newest episodes of Note to Self are now available on the Luminary podcast app. It's free to download, and you can also listen to other podcasts from WNYC studios like Radiolab, Two Dope Queens, Snap Judgment, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and others. Luminary Premium is the only place where you can enjoy the entire new season of Note to Self, plus new original podcasts you won't find anywhere else, from Trevor Noah, Roxane Gay, Guy Raz, Lena Dunham, and many more. And you can enjoy them ad-free. Start your free trial by going to luminary.link/note to self or download the Luminary app for free.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Hi, it's Manoush Zomorodi, the host of New Tech City. Which is why we thought it was so crazy, Alex, when we heard that the most recent entry into the Library of Congress is a version of the epic tale Moby Dick, done all in emoji. Emoji Dick.
To chase that white whale on both sides of land and over all sides of earth. He spouts black blood and rolls dead out.
That, by the way, is the sound of the 1956 movie adaptation with Gregory Peck. And Alex, what is up with the digital update 60 years later? This is weird.
Okay, the man behind it is Fred Benenson. He works at Kickstarter in Brooklyn, and I invited him into the studio to explain it.
I guess whenever I think about solving a problem or thinking about something, I'm always trying to visualize it.
Fred realized that he was really good at choosing the right emoji for the right sentence or the emotion or thought, and he decides to take his talent to the extreme.
And I was like, maybe I can make a whole book of this. Maybe I can like write a novel in emoji. And that's where the idea started forming.
But he doesn't write a novel. He translates one. He thinks of what is the hardest, longest, most challenging book he could possibly try to tackle. He kicks around a few ideas, including the Bible, and then settles on Moby Dick. All right, let me give you a little reading. With a philosophical flourish, Cato throws himself upon his sword. I quietly take to the ship. And this is like two smokestacks, then some waves, and then these look like they're Japanese characters to me, and then some lipstick. I'm doing this in front of Fred Benenson. I guess that's the flourish, maybe?
Perhaps.
But this one doesn't have a ship in it. The Call Me Ishmael house has a sailboat. This one, there's no ship.
Do they all have to have ships after that point? I don't know.
So I'm looking for word for word. Thinking Japanese characters or something like that. Is a character means a word.
To be clear, the book has both emoji and English side by side. And he didn't personally translate the whole thing. He used a crowdsourcing service called Mechanical Turk, where you can shop out tiny little tasks to hundreds of people.
Wait, quick segue. How does that work?
Mechanical Turk. Each sentence was translated by a few different people into emoji, getting paid a few pennies for each sentence. Then another group of people voted on each sentence and approved the translations, right? The most popular, the best ones became official. They got paid pennies for the voting. And then Benenson stitches it all together into a somewhat confusing but very impressive tome.
I fully admit that there are large portions of the book that don't make any sense. And there are a number of reasons for that, right? Some of it could just be it was impossible to tell that sentence.
Well, I gotta say, it's reminding me of when I took this Shakespeare class in college that was called like Feminism and Homophobia in Shakespeare. And you could kind of read the text and then tell the professor anything you wanted in terms of looking into the meaning of the words, because it's not like Shakespeare is going to be there to be like, oh no, that's not what I meant at all. It's almost like he's reading Moby Dick and then interpreting it into his emoji. And we can't say he's wrong, right?
And it's teaching us something about language along the way. Yeah, Fred made almost the exact same comparison, actually.
Part of the fun of the book and the project was that contrast and that tension and that dissonance of like, how could you choose a smokestack when you're trying to represent philosophy? Like, what does that mean? Why did you do that? And just what you went through right there. Like, you're relating to, you know, a struggle that many a high school or college student probably went through just interpreting Melville. But then he probably actually went through writing that sentence. And it brings a new relationship to the text that I think is really exciting and fun.
The images are enhancing communication, right? He says that he's been contacted by a couple of English professors and heard that a few of them are even including the text in classes. So maybe emojis are getting taken more seriously as a mode of expression.
And it wasn't really until this year that the interest in emoji as a pop culture phenomenon caught up so that, like, Emoji Dick wasn't totally insane to most people who heard about it.
Okay, so kind of crazy, but not totally insane. This is New Tech City, and we'll see you next week.